Now for the sunny side of sports with Sunny Young, and happy Wednesday, Sunny.
Happy Wednesday to you, Kim.
Well, Sunny, I understand you have kudos today for a California-based basketball team.
Kim, here's a sunny side of sports salute to the Golden State Warriors, who won their first National Basketball Association championship in 40 years. The Warriors scored a 105-97 road victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers to win the NBA Finals 4-2. League MVP Stephen Curry scored 25 points for the Warriors, a total matched by teammate Andre Iguodala. The 31-year-old Iguodala, whose father is Nigerian, was named the most valuable player of the NBA Finals. Golden State's head coach is Steve Kerr, who won 5 NBA titles as a player and now his first as a coach. Kerr began his post-game news conference with praise for the Cavaliers.
Congratulations to Cleveland, to Coach Blatt, who did a fantastic job. You think about the injuries they had, two of their top three players going down. And for them to have the season that they had and to get to the finals and to compete at the highest level and to have us on the ropes, it's an amazing job. And obviously LeBron is just an incredible player. So congrats to the Cavs. We were fortunate in a lot of ways this year. Maybe number one was health. To win a title, there's obviously a lot of work, but a lot of luck as well. And we had a lot of luck on our side this year, and our guys took advantage of it, and they were fantastic. But, man, what a night.
As Coach Kerr said, LeBron James is an incredible basketball player. He averaged almost 36 points, 13 rebounds, and 9 assists each game during the NBA Finals. But it was not enough for Cleveland to win its first NBA title. One of the key players for the Warriors in their title-clinching victory was forward Draymond Green, who had a team-high 11 rebounds and 10 assists. Green says the club's savior in the NBA Finals, though, was Andre Iguodala.
Andre is that guy that we all look to when everything going bad. I mean, whether it's him taking a back seat and letting Harrison start, you know, and not mumbling a word about coach's decision all year, and then coming in, he was great the entire series, not just when he started starting. He was great the entire series, but he saved this season for us. I always say Andre's a pro's pro. He's a professional guy, and it showed, and that's why he's the MVP of this series, and that's why we're champions.
That's Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors, the 2015 NBA champions. In African youth football, neighbors Mali and Senegal saw their world championship dreams come to an end Wednesday in the semifinals of the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in New Zealand. Mali lost to Serbia 2-1 in extra time, while Senegal was beaten decisively by Brazil 5-0. Mali and Senegal have one more game to play before they go home, as they will play each other Saturday in the third-place game in Auckland. The final featuring Brazil and Serbia will also take place Saturday in Auckland. Meanwhile, two African teams are headed in different directions at the Women's World Cup in Canada. Neighbors Cameroon and Nigeria both played their crucial final group stage matches Tuesday. Both teams needed a win if they hoped to advance, and Cameroon was up to the task, coming from behind to defeat a strong Swiss team 2-1. Nigeria, on the other hand, played a tough game against world number 2 USA, and despite several good chances for the Super Falcons, the American women were able to squeeze by with a 1-0 win on a goal just before halftime by Abby Wambach. It was Wambach's 183rd career international goal, the most by any player, male or female, in history. The Super Falcons played the last 21 minutes with 10 women after Sarah Enodim received a second yellow card. With the loss, Nigeria finishes the group stage with 1 point and is eliminated. Cameroon, on the other hand, finishes with 6 points in Group C, good enough for second place. Cameroon now joins Brazil, Japan, China, the USA, Norway, Canada, Germany, and Australia in the knockout stages. The Cameroonian ladies will play China on Saturday in the round of 16. Cameroon is just the second African team to ever make it to the knockout stage of the Women's World Cup. An impressive feat for a team making its Women's World Cup debut. Nigeria advanced to the knockout stage at the 1999 tournament here in the United States. Well, our African football guru, David Legg, has been looking at the recent 2017 Nations Cup qualifiers played across the continent. There were 25 matches in total, spanning 13 qualifying groups. In Group D, the two home teams were victorious. In Kampala, the Cranes of Uganda defeated the Zebras of Botswana 2-0. And in Ouagadougou, the Stallions of Burkina Faso galloped past the Comoros Islands by that same 2-0 scoreline. How do you see this group, David?
The same applies to Burkina Faso's Mali. I was expecting them to win a little bit more convincingly, remembering that Comoros Islands are one of the newest national teams playing in Africa. But in fact, it was 9 minutes from the end when Bertrand Traoré scored the second Burkinabe goal to clinch the victory. The first had come from that big striker, Aristide Bance, a man who always stands out because he's got that blonde, dyed hairstyle. And he's huge. He could well have been a basketball player, Sonny, or even a rugby union player. Really strong, powerful footballer is Bance. The other results, Sonny, also pretty predictable. You would always fancy Uganda at home against Botswana. And they scored their two goals within 11 minutes early in the second half. Jeffrey Massa, who plays in South Africa, he put the Ugandan Cranes ahead. And Brian Umoni, who used to play in South Africa, he scored the second goal. So pretty predictable there. And their dead level, the only thing that puts Burkina Faso ahead of Uganda is because their name begins with a B as opposed to the U of Uganda. So they're level on 3 points and a level on +2 goal difference. The next set of matches, Sonny, will see Botswana at home to Burkina Faso and the Comoros at home to Uganda.
David, I know you like to remind Douglas Mpuga and our many Voice of America listeners in Uganda that it's been a long time since 1978 when the Cranes last qualified for the Nations Cup. Could Gabon 2017 finally be the time for Uganda football?
Tell you, when we talk of Uganda, we must always say could. We never say will. Yes, I think if Douglas wants some encouragement, I think they have a fair chance. This is not the strongest of groups, honey, and really it should boil down to Burkina Faso and Uganda. The crucial thing for the Ugandans, as were all teams in the Africa Cup of Nations, they must win their three home games. If you go back to the 2015 qualifiers, Uganda started well, and then they lost at home to Togo, and that really was the death knell, ultimately, of their chances. This time, a solid home performance, 2-0 against Botswana. Botswana, obviously pretty defensive, but the Ugandans patiently carving out a victory. And yes, Sonny, I would say at this stage, definitely a 50-50 chance. I really cannot see Botswana or Comoros challenging for top place. So it could well boil down to those two matches between Burkina Faso and Uganda, one in Ouagadougou and one in Kampala. And what the Ugandans obviously have to aim at is winning in Kampala and at least drawing in Ouagadougou. So, Sonny, yeah, our fingers are crossed tightly for Douglas on this one.
Let's turn to Group E now, David. We had draws in both matches. Zambia, the 2012 Nations Cup champion, playing at home in Ndola, scoreless draw with Guinea-Bissau. And Congo-Brazzaville plays a one-all draw with Kenya. Your thoughts?
Good news for Kenya, and also good news for Guinea-Bissau. I think Group E is going to be humdinger. I really think Congo, Kenya, or Zambia could win this group. I mean, Guinea-Bissau could yet make me eat my words, quite literally, because that was an impressive performance. They went to Ndola and forced a nil-all draw against a country who, we must remember, were the shock winners of the 2012 Cup of Nations. Zambia had a great chance to win the match right to the death. In fact, 1 minute into stoppage time, a needlessly, clumsily conceded handball by a Guinea-Bissau defender gifted Zambia a penalty and upstepped the man who so often converts these spot kicks, the goalkeeper of Zambia, the veteran Kennedy Mwini. However, Sonny, I've seldom seen such a badly taken penalty. He struck the ball so timidly, and he struck it straight down the middle. The Guinea-Bissau goalkeeper managed to just kick the ball away, and that was the great chance of the Zambian victory gone astray. So Zambia having to settle for a point at home, not a good start at all. And Congo Brazzaville, who impressed us all at the 2015 Cup of Nations, reaching the quarterfinals, leading DR Congo 2-0 before eventually being vanquished by 4-2. They didn't play particularly well, and that in part must go to the credit of the Kenyans, who were very combative, led through Were after 10 minutes. Onyango equalized after 35 minutes from a penalty. But the Kenyans pretty comfortable in the second half in a match played in Owando, atop in the north of the country. Now, the Congolese normally play either in Brazzaville or down in Pointe Noire on the Atlantic coast. But a change of venue this time, and the Congolese are ahead only because their name begins with a C, whereas the Kenyans' name begins with a K. And the next matches, which I think will be really eagerly looked forward to by Guinea-Bissau and Kenya, Guinea-Bissau will be at home to Congo, and Kenya will be at home to Zambia. And if you think about it, if the Guinea-Bissau and Kenyans can win those matches, they will have built a 3-point lead each after two rounds. So I think, Sonny, let's mark down Group E. I've got a hunch this is going to be a really intriguing mini-league.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg. And David will be back later this week with more Nations Cup qualifying analysis. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports.